Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
You know, people are trying to silence Michael Savage. That's me. I need your help. It's a big battle, a legal battle. The opposition has unlimited funds. I don't. Will you please go to michaelsavage.com, contribute $5, $10, $1,000, $10,000, or you can send checks to the trust account of Daniel Horowitz. He's my attorney. P.O. Box 1547, Lafayette, California, 94549. Daniel Horowitz, attorney, P.O. Box 1547, Lafayette, California, 94549. Say it's for Michael Savage. Thank you for helping protect freedom of speech. Go to www.michaelsavage.com, and God bless you for helping protect freedom of speech. This eats me up. Here's the article. Weapon dates bowhead whale to 1800s. Some son of a rat bum Inuit, an Eskimo, kills a 150-year-old whale, 130-year-old whale yesterday. And they find a weapon fragment in the old whale in its neck that showed it survived a similar hunt over 100 years ago. The tip of the bomb lance fragment, patented in 1879, that was removed from the neck of a bowhead whale, killed off the Alaskan coast in May, rather, right? So now you read the whole story. Embedded under its blubber was a 3.5-inch arrow-shaped projectile that tells us the whale is between 150 and 130 years old. So now you read it, you read it, you say, wait a minute, who is permitted to kill a whale this old? So you read on to the whole story, and you realize it was the Eskimos, the Inuits. Now, they're sacred cows, as you well know. They're like one of the sacred minority groups in the world. So they have a hunting quota for the Alaskan whale, and they're allowed to kill 255 whales by 10 villages over 5 years. Why would they be allowed to kill a 130-year-old whale? To me, this guy committed a crime. I'd like to hunt down the Inuit who did this, and I think he should be tried for animal cruelty. How do you like that? I don't like killing an old whale. I don't like the idea of an old whale being killed. An animal that is so smart, that has survived so long. All the perils of the sea. All the perils of mankind. All the perils of the predators and of disease gets hunted by some toothless hack up there who is allowed to hunt them with some modern weapon. That Inuit should go to jail for animal cruelty, in my opinion. So I know what many of you, where are you going, Mike? Today you're an animal rights activist. Yesterday you attacked Big Oil. Monday you told us about Unitarianism. Yeah, well, I'm an independent, okay? I'm an independent guy, and I think through things. This is how I see the world. So make of it what you will. Don't confuse me with a Bushbot or a Republican. Please, whatever you do, don't insult me. What are you going to say about it? That he shouldn't? That it's his right? It's his tribal right to kill whales? Well, what other tribal rights are there? That the Native American could kill buffalo? They're not killing buffalo anymore, are they? Only Ted Turner gets to kill buffalo and sell them in delicatessens in San Francisco. Ted Turner, environmentalist, kills buffalo or has buffalo killed for him. In the slaughterhouses down there, low cholesterol meat, buffalo meat. I ate it once, and it's like bad beef stew. I wouldn't eat buffalo. There's certain animals I don't want to eat. I don't want to eat whale meat. Why do they need to eat whale meat, those guys up there? They have everything from us now down here. They got welfare galore. They don't live in the ice hut anymore. They live in a nice house we gave them. Welfare house, color TV, car, 4x4, a gas-powered sled. What was the crap? They got to hunt a whale. They got everything they want. I mean, it's flown in. Safeway brings it up to them. There's no need for those bums to shoot whales anymore, particularly a 130-year-old whale. Yeah, don't call me on this. It's just heartbreaking, the vicious Inuit. So you're like, oh, man, an Inuit, savage. So he called an Eskimo, an Inuit, a native Alaskan, vicious. What, they're not allowed to be vicious? They're all good? They're all Nanook of the North sitting up there in a What are you people crazy? Haven't you learned yet? You haven't learned yet. You haven't learned nothing yet. There's vicious vermin in every race, and there's saints in every race. This guy should be hunted down and arrested for animal cruelty for killing a 130-year-old whale. That's my opinion. It's a desecration. Patrick, WOR, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, hello, Dr. Savage. I happen to agree with you. I'm an independent with conservative leanings, but I also believe in wildlife conservation.
Is it quote? Thank you. Thank you for being a rationalist.
Here's a quote by Gandhi. He says that you have a reflection on people on how they treat their animals. So how are these people? What's the reflection on them?
I mean, tell me about the sacred Inuit up there without teeth, chewing on rawhide and eating sugary foods and watching Oprah Winfrey. Well, why should they kill whales? What? Who gives them the right to kill a whale? What do you mean it's their heritage? Their heritage went out the window a long time ago. Heritage might be hind. You're telling me gambling is the Native American heritage? They used to have gambling casinos in the old Sioux territory? Is that their heritage?
I guess so. I missed that.
Yeah, the Comanches had bigger casinos than the Sioux. And what happened was they were all conglomerated under the Nevada tribes.
That was the Casino Wars of 1876.
Yeah, the Casino Wars. That's right. You missed that in U.S. history. The Casino Wars of 1814. That's when they were all consolidated under the Las Vegas Indians.
Yes, yes. Thank you very much, sir. It's an honor.
All right. What are you going to do? Yes, I believe in conservation of animals. That's correct. That is correct. Eureka, California. Mike, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Savage, the topic you got made me laugh because I seen these knotheads on a special they had. All of them running around circles, wasn't the old ways, but they was all chasing these whales down in high-powered boats with high-powered rifles, just like their
ancestors. A bunch of fakers, all of them. Old ways by behind. And you've got to put in the new ways. If they're going to live on the new way, then you got to give them the new laws. You're not killing any more whales, idiot. They're an endangered species, particularly a 130-year-old whale. Do you understand the metaphor of killing a 130-year-old whale, how painful that really is when you think about it?
It's a sad state. Hey, thanks for the call.
I don't know. It bothers me. It bothers me for some peculiar reason. And I don't know why. I don't know the whale. You could say, well, the guy didn't know how old the whale was. He probably didn't. That's why they shouldn't hunt any whales at all. The Japanese get to kill whales and put them in a can. The Norwegians get to kill a whale and put them in a can. What's it? Their heritage? Their heritage is having their daughters become Jezebels. That's their heritage. That's the heritage of Scandinavia. They went from being these wild Nordic people into this degenerate race up there. Everybody's a degenerate in that area, with the exception of those who emigrated to New York and then came to California. The whole country's sinking into a mess. No wonder they brought in the immigrants into those areas up there. They had to save them somehow. Any religion's better than what they have. Their religion is drugs, sex, and rock and roll. No wonder. Here we go. Disagrees on whale hunting. Okay, Mark, tell us why you disagree on whale hunting.
Hey, how you doing? I listened to you for quite a while. I enjoy your show. I like your free speech. I disagree from the pure fact I come from a farming community. We still hunt. We use the meat for ourselves. We hunt deer and whatnot. And
I understand, but I don't think a deer is the same level of a noble creature such as a whale. Moreover, deer are not only in abundance. Here where I live, they've proliferated to the point where they're a pest.
Absolutely, yeah. You're
yeah. So I have no problem in hunting deer. It's a game animal. But a whale? Why, there's sufficient whales in the seas that we could just see them knocked off by these greedy Inuits?
Yeah, I got to forgive my ignorance, but what kind of whale is it?
Okay, I don't know. I don't know different things. This is called a bowhead whale.
I know there's certain whales, you know, that the Eskimos have been hunting for years, and I don't think they're endangered.
Well, this is a 50-ton bowhead whale, so that's 100,000 pounds of blubber, of bone, and of whale meat, of muscle. I can guarantee you that guy's going to sell it off to a cannery. It has nothing to do with his Native American hunting. It has everything to do with greed and the bottom line and the greed for the greenback. He's not using it for himself. He's going to eat 100,000 pounds of whale meat? No way. He's not eating 100,000 pounds of whale meat. They don't want it anyway. They'd rather have, I don't know, Jack in the Box up there or Inuit in it, whatever they eat. I don't know what they eat up there. Codfish. Ricola. That Ricola guy goes up there. No, it's too cold for him. He's got shorts on, Ricola guy. Milton on WOR, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello?
Yes, Milton, you're on the radio.
Yes, thank you. I don't see the difference between eating a whale or eating shrimp. I mean, you seem to like shrimp, but you like lobster.
Sir, if you put a shrimp and a whale in the same category, there's something wrong with your ability to analyze. You don't understand the nobility? It's like saying killing a mosquito is the same as killing a whale?
Well, I didn't say. You mentioned that what's bothering you is that they may be overfished and the endangered species. The reality is that the Eskimos are protecting the species. They have a maximum of 250 whales over 5 years.
Wait. The Eskimos are protecting the whales by killing them?
Well, no, by having a limit to how much they can kill. And they don't kill it with modern weapons either. I've been up there. They actually use it for food over the winter. So they don't.
They use 100,000 pounds of the bowhead whale that the guy killed that was 130 years old. That doesn't disturb you either, that it was a grandfather whale?
Killed every day. Millions of pounds of beef are killed in the United States throughout the world.
Again, you're comparing a cow to a whale. I guess you don't see the difference. It's like saying an eagle is the same as a cockroach.
The difference is between a cow and a whale.
Oh, so what's the difference between a human being then and a whale and a deer and a rat and a cockroach? Would you agree with me that there's a difference in levels of spirit or not?
I don't think you could compare a human being, because a human being has a God-given soul, which a whale does not have.
All right, so we're going to put aside a human being. Fine, at least I wanted to see where you were coming from. Good. So the human's different than the lower animals. We'll call them lower animals. Now let's look at the lower animals. Are you going to argue that as an organism, a whale is on the same level as a mosquito?
No, it's not the same level as an organism, but as far as a human being using it for his own purposes of eating and keeping sustaining the human species, of course you should be able to eat a whale.
Sustaining? You mean those Inuits who live on welfare couldn't live on foods other than a 130-year-old whale, Milton?
Will you give up your shrimp because you could live on McDonald's hamburgers? Would you do that?
I don't eat shrimp. I don't eat shrimp. Since I saw that the sewer shrimp coming in from China is contaminated, I haven't had a shrimp. So don't bring me into the issue. No, let's talk about Inuits killing 130-year-old whales. I'm saying that it's a travesty and it's animal cruelty.
Oh, I really don't think so.
You're comparing a noble, advanced cetacean that can communicate in a phenomenal manner. You're obviously ignorant about the communication of animals of this level, if you think they're the same as a cow, Milton. And I'm surprised at you, because you probably think you're an intelligent man, and you probably are, but you're ignorant when it comes to animals. Whales are extremely advanced. You understand they're mammals. You know that, right?
I understand that, but there's no reason not to be able to kill an animal for food. Human beings.
So if you had the opportunity to do so, would you have killed a 130-year-old whale for food?
I am the Orthodox Jew. I only kosher food. I have a different idea about food. But in general, I don't see a difference between slaughtering a whale or slaughtering a deer for food, as long as it's for the purpose of sustaining the human species, which is a God.
See, but that's the limitations of reading the Bible. You need to add some knowledge to your skull cap in addition to the Bible. You need to put additional knowledge in there, because that Bible was written thousands of years ago when there was unlimited game on this planet and very limited numbers of human beings. The world has changed dramatically. You can't use the ecological concepts of the ancient olive growers today, Milton. The world is much different.
Well, you're going to ban.
Milton, if we had not imposed limits on certain fishings, for example, off New England, all of the lobsters would be gone by now. If we had not constrained the fishing fleets of Massachusetts, many species of fish would have been wiped out by now. This has nothing to do with the Bible. This has to do with animal husbandry. Just on the level of preserving a species, you have to control the number of animals that are killed. But let's put that aside. Let us look at the whale as a complex organism. This amazing cetacean and its ability to communicate. Have you ever heard a whale sounds, Milton, in recordings? As it communicates with other members of its species of whale?
Do you know that ants communicate to a far greater extent than bees communicate? The lowly ant? That's not a reason not to kill an
well,
ant.
Well, okay, I agree with you. Yes, at a certain point, all life is sacred. I agree with you on that point. But that doesn't mean that the ant is the same as the whale.
Yeah. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
listening to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show.
Some years ago, never mind how long precisely, having little or no money in my purse and nothing particular to interest me on shore, I thought I would sail about a little and see the watery part of the world. It is a way I have of driving off the spleen and regulating the circulation. Whenever I find myself growing grim about the mouth, whenever it is a damp, drizzly November in my soul, whenever I find myself involuntarily pausing before coffin warehouses and bringing up the rear of every funeral I meet, and especially whenever my hypos get such an upper hand of me that it requires a strong moral principle to prevent me from deliberately stepping into the street and methodically knocking people's hats off, then I account it as high time to get to sea as soon as I can. This is my substitute for pistol and ball. With a philosophical flourish, Cato throws himself upon his sword. I quietly take to the ship. There is nothing surprising in this. If they but knew it, almost all men in their degree, sometime or other, cherish very nearly the same feelings towards the ocean with me. That's the opening paragraph of what some consider to be the greatest novel written in an English language, Moby Dick, by Herman Melville. KNEW, San Francisco. Jim, you're on the Savage Nation.
I just want to tell you, you know, about 20 years ago, I served in the Army up at Anchorage, Alaska, and we used to train in the Eskimo National Guard.
Uh-huh.
And in the process of training these guys, somehow they got a hold of some live bullets. For some reason, these guys are part savages. I mean, they shot and killed a black bear right in the middle of our training station.
And I mean, they enjoy, you're saying the wanton slaughter is what you noticed amongst them. They enjoyed killing.
Yeah,
that's right. There are people on Earth who enjoy killing, as we can see in the Middle East, which is why, of course, there's a great argument to be made for colonization and subjugation of various peoples on Earth.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. To an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Beginning of the summer, there was a backlog of over 2 million American passports. No one could get their passports. It created a travel nightmare, and there are people still waiting. There's another part of the story you haven't heard. Not only is one woman responsible, but she also screwed up our foreign visa policy, creating huge security issues, and she wasn't punished in the least. She's actually awaiting promotion. Joel Mowbray has broken the story. It's entitled Hardy's Downfall. Joel is on the line now. Hello, Joel.
Michael, great to be on again. Thank you.
Joel, who is Maura Hardy and how is she involved in the backlogging of over 2 million passports?
Maura Hardy is the head of consular affairs at the State Department. This is probably the most powerful position in Washington that no one knows anything about. This is the person who oversees all administration of consulates and embassies and decides who gets in the country and who does not. So she's in charge of all the visas. She's also in charge of passports. And so she was the one who was responsible for the passport crisis earlier this year. It was because of that passport crisis she was hauled before the U.S. Senate to testify to explain what happened. She could have been honest. She was not. And she blamed a private consulting firm's study for underestimating the number of new passport applications that would come in as a result of these, the Western Hemisphere travel initiative requiring people to use passports when they travel in between Mexico and Canada. Actually, it was her office, not the private consulting firm, that downgraded the number. They actually got the number right. Her office downgraded that by 2 million from 18 million estimated applications to 16 million. And because she staffed at such a low level, preparing for far fewer applications than came in, she ended up dropping the ball and caused this huge passport crisis that affected millions of Americans. And because she wasn't honest with the Senate, she ended up not getting a promotion she was scheduled to get to the number three position at the State Department to become Undersecretary of Management. And because she didn't get the promotion, Michael, she ended up resigning from the State Department late last month.
Well, passports apparently weren't the only problem. Foreign visas were also affected.
Well, Michael, obviously people who suffered at her hands because of the passport crisis, who had weddings ruined, business and vacation plans wrecked. It's actually U.S. border security that's going to be the biggest beneficiary of her leaving the post of consular affairs. What most Americans don't know is that Maura Hardy systematically lowered the threshold for people in across the Arab world in countries that are known hotbeds of Islamic extremism and made it easier than ever for them to get a visa to come to the United States. So, of course, I'm talking about places like Egypt and Jordan and the United Arab Emirates, Pakistan, not in the Arab world, but also, you know, obviously the new home to Al-Qaeda and the Taliban since the fall of the Taliban in Afghanistan. And you have Al-Qaeda training camps there. And we have, you know, the vast majority of Pakistani applicants for visas to come to the U.S. get them. And it's not because of money. It's not a wealthy country. But worst of all, Michael, is Saudi Arabia, the country that sent us 15 of the 9/11 terrorists, the country that was central to the 9/11 plot. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the operational planner of 9/11, said that the reason, the one reason why Saudis were made up 15 of the 9/11 terrorists was because they had the easiest access to visas. You would think that that would mean that Maura Hardy would try to shut down the Saudi procedure, at least make it so that only the most qualified people get through and make it so that young, single, unattached men who don't qualify for a visa under the law currently, that they would just not get visas and the law would be followed. Well, Maura Hardy didn't do that, and Saudi nationals, particularly young, single, unattached males in Saudi Arabia, continue to get visas almost every single time they apply.
What happened to her? How was she reprimanded?
Well, Maura Hardy has paid no price for this open-door red carpet policy with the Saudis. And I think the real reason for that is a complete lack of congressional oversight. It's not, and by the way, it's not a Democrat-Republican thing. It's really not, because the Republicans did the same thing. It's just there's not really an understanding, I think, at a congressional level how important visa policy is. Because, you know, you say visa policy, and, you know, most people's eyes glaze over. That includes legislators and the people who are supposed to be keeping us safe and actually doing oversight of the administration. You can get a lot of liberals ginned up by saying, you know, Bush lied and people died. You get some conservatives ginned up talking about Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. But unfortunately, there's no partisan anything or interest really for most people in visa policy, despite it being hugely important. And as I mentioned, it was central to the 9/11 plot being carried out. So says the operational planner of 9/11, that without that, it probably wouldn't have been possible.
So let me get this straight. She wasn't punished? And the reason she got away with it was due to ignorance and lack of interest on the part of Congress?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say, Michael, that she's getting away or has gotten away with the visa policy because of ignorance. People just don't know what to look for, don't understand that the visas, by the way, are supposed to be tough to get. The law says you are considered ineligible for a visa until you prove your own eligibility. That's, you know, supposed to be difficult. And you have to prove things like, you know, a house, a spouse, a job, reasons you're going to come back to your home country. Now, this is meant to stop illegal immigration through the back door, people just overstaying their visa. But showing roots to your home country actually helps weed out the people most likely to be terrorists, single, young, unattached males. And Maura Hardy did nothing about this, and unfortunately Congress just didn't understand the significance of it, so she got away with it.
As I understand it, this woman was actually promoted. What's happening here?
Well, you know, Maura Hardy earlier this year got a temporary promotion to the Undersecretary of Management position, which, by the way, makes her one step removed from the Secretary of State. And this is, you know, the person in charge of all administration, all personnel, diplomatic security, the law enforcement arm of state, everything. And she got this as a temporary acting position. And she would have gotten it full-time earlier this year, except she had to tend to the passport crisis. But it was only after she lied to the Senate, and, well, I was the one who broke the story, that she did lie to the Senate about what happened, what caused the passport crisis, that, in fact, it was her office, not the private consulting firm that did it. That was finally what caught up with her. But it's sad that the reason she didn't get the full-time permanent position as the third highest position at the State Department isn't because the leaving open America's borders and leaving us vulnerable to Saudis and others coming here who could be terrorist operatives, but rather the passport crisis, because that touched every single congressional office and senatorial office. Constituents were angry, and they were calling in, and that got their attention. If only we could have the same kind of constituency for bad visa policy.
So ultimately, what does this bureaucrat's lack of responsibility mean for the country? And our borders, are we more vulnerable? Could this lax policy have allowed Islamofascists that could lead to the next large-scale attack in America?
One of the things we know about terrorist operatives is they can be in the United States for years before they do anything. This is the whole notion of a sleeper cell. So we don't know, and we might not know for quite some time, the full extent of the damages caused to our national security by Moriarty. This much is clear, however, that the pathway exploited by the 9/11 terrorists, easy access to visas in Saudi Arabia, is almost as open today as it was before 9/11. That's not even in dispute, meaning that Moriarty knowingly risked America's security. Now, she's going to be on the job through the end of February as the head of consular affairs. During that time, the White House is going to have to appoint somebody, and the Senate is going to have to confirm someone to take over. Now, the State Department, of course, is going to want to put forward to the White House the name of somebody who's probably the current deputy to her in that office, which means that you're going to have someone who believes in the very same policies, the very same red carpet treatment for the Saudis. So the White House needs to resist that and put in there an outsider, either someone who could be a foreign service officer but who doesn't share that mentality, or more likely an outsider who's completely outside of the foreign service and doesn't think about how to be nice to other countries, but rather thinks about border security as keeping Americans safe first and foremost.
Do you believe there's enough focus on this issue from the administration to get someone who will do a rigorous job in protecting our borders, at least in regard to the visa program?
Unfortunately, and I think we both know this, and all the listeners on the show know this, this White House has not been the best when it comes to border security. This is actually Bush's last chance to appoint somebody who's going to have a real impact on border security for the United States of America. Now, it's not going to be the Mexican border, which is what we focus on in the news and talk about all the time. But isn't it so much better if you're Al-Qaeda, rather than trying to, you know, smuggle some people in the back of a van run by a coyote across the Mexican border where they may or may not get stopped by the Border Patrol? Wouldn't it be much better if you just get them a thing stamped to put in their passport, a visa, to come here with no hassles and no questions asked other than 60 seconds with someone from customs at the airport, and that's it, and they're through? Of course that's the way they're going to want to come in. And because of Moriarty, they're able to. I mean, that's the thing. It's shockingly easy to get a visa in a whole host of countries with known hotbed populations of Islamic extremism. And so now this Bush White House has a chance, its last year in office, to actually do something meaningful on border security and appoint someone to run consular affairs who means business, who will enforce the law and keep us safe.
Thank you very much for speaking with us, Joel Mowbray.
As always, Michael, a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show.
It is the big sound of Michael Savage. See, I could do a regular radio voice. I know how to do that. Play it up, man. I want more of that Pantera. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Give it up. That's it, that's it, that's it. Oh, oh, oh. Come on. Get that Holly rolling. Oh, God, I want to do 135 miles an hour. This song is by Pantera called I'm Broken on the Savage Nation. We'll be right back. Want to hear how I got it? Listen to this. Listen to this great story. So I'm in the radio station here, WFTL talk station. So they have like, I love radio stations. I got to tell you something. There's such, it's like a difference like you can't believe. I mean, I grew up in radio station, in the radio station. And then as you get like on in the business, you can say like, okay, I want a home studio, and they give it to you because most syndicated hosts have a home studio because they think it's preferable that you can roll out of bed basically and do your show. I don't do it that way, but some do, or they like the convenience of not seeing, whatever. There's nothing wrong with it. But you lose contact with the sense of reality. A sense of reality is lost when you're working alone. I don't care how many people are around you. You come into a radio station, it's a totally different thing. The smells, the vibe. So in this building, there are other stations operating. One of the guys, a nice disc jockey, is playing this music, Pantera, on the other station as I'm enduring a break. What is that song, Pantera, I'm Broken? So listen to this. I want to play it on the Savage Nation today. So, all right. He gets it off the computer. He emails it up to my group up in Oregon. They download it on their computer, and bingo, we're playing it on your show. Isn't that great? Bravo. Modern day radio. Bravo, bravo, bravo. I got to go back to KDW when I get to San Francisco. I got to start going into the station. Great people. I just got disconnected from it. I have my own pattern. Bike, lunch, bicycle, nap, show, boom. No, I got to go back to the station. That's what I'm going to do when I get there. Where was I when I was so? Play Pantera for a minute. Then we'll do Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, blah, blah, blah. I want to hear the heavy metal part of it, though. The meanest part. I want stuff for the youngsters, the young men. This is such American music. I love it. The yelling in the background. It's the zeitgeist of the American male. Like Metallica. Early Metallica. I mean, if you were a girl, you'd want to make it with these guys. That's all I can tell you. If you were young, I don't mean Barbara Boxer's age. And now I'm going to get a call on that from the Bible Belt. It's not Christian, it's not Jewish. I'm surprised at you, Mike. How dare you? Oh, Castro's not dead yet? God. What is that? You can't kill the devil. Look at him. He looks like an old... There's Castro. He looks like an old geezer. Oh, how you doing? I'm not doing bad. I'm doing great. Look at my buddy Hugo here. I'm not doing bad. Doing good. Thank God. The bowels are a little out. I turned this off already. No, he's watching the news. There's Chavez, the monstrous dictator who used a cruise missile. What do we pay for him for? You know, if I was in charge, Amanajad, the next speech, him and the mullahs. The next time Chavez starts insulting the president, calling the devil with the smoke and has a little act, him and the commissar is gone. Castro's already got one. You see him, he came out and looked like a guy in Boca Raton. How are you? No, not bad. The bowels aren't too good. The operation in Havana wasn't too good. It didn't go good. They attached the bowel. They stapled it. Broken clap run in my leg. And I should have done the bag, but all right. I still got plenty of zip in me. I can still kill. Don't worry. I can put you away, too. Don't worry. I still got the power. Oh, I'm not feeling good. God, what a life it's been. All those people I killed. What fun. Oh, I don't know where I want to go today. Do you mind if I not do the news? Play Pantera for me. I like that song, but I want to bring it up to the... Stop. No, wind it forward where they start to give the primal scream part. See, that's the music we should be playing as we fly our helicopters over the Sunni Triangle and rocket the insurgents. We should give our pilots rock star and play this music in the helicopter as they're killing the enemy and tell them, take no prisoners. You want the war to end? Put me in charge. I can end it in 30 days. This music in our tanks. This music in our helicopters. This music playing in the background of our F-A-18s off the aircraft carriers. This music playing in the background of the 155mm howitzers in the forward rear position. You want to see America kick ass? Get a kick-ass leader. Not a wimp liar. MBA all the way. Put someone there not from Skull and Bones, but give the enemy some skulls. What happened to my country? How did so many phonies take so much power from me? When I say for me, I mean my country. It was stolen from me by liars and thieves. Louder! You want to win the war? Get someone in there who can kick ass and take the handcuffs off our men. You want to see the greatest generation? They're there already. We don't have to look backwards and cry over Normandy. Make them cry over the Sunni Triangle. Break them in the morning. To break them in 30 hours. Bush with his garbage sending 21,000 men to do the same crap. What is he talking about? The same strategy of letting them get shot before they can shoot? Uh-oh, incoming. Now you can fire back. George said it's okay. He just called from the fundraiser. He asked Karl Rove. You want to beat him? There's only one way to beat him. Beat him over an anvil till there's nothing left. Crush them. Break their hearts. Destroy their homeland. And then you'll beat them. Otherwise, get out of there. Beat them or get out of there. I don't want to see another body bag coming back. Every death, by the way, didn't have to happen. Every one of them. Every injury didn't have to happen. I never heard of this in my lifetime. We have the most powerful weaponry in the world, and we rarely use it. Instead, we send boys into hand-to-hand combat. Why? 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 You don't know the answer. You can't figure it out. No bid contract.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
And now your good Dr. Savage would like to talk about camouflage and deceit. Many of us believe that nature is straightforward and nature is honest. Many of us know that man is not straightforward and quite dishonest. And so we wax eloquently about how wonderful animals are and how straightforward they are. But in fact, if you're a keen observer of nature, as I have been all of my life, you'll find that all of nature is about deception. Now, man being part of nature is by nature deceptive. For example, the self-righteous progressive who gets caught with kiddie pornography says he was only researching a book. Or today's news, the so-called civil rights huckster, who was raided by the FBI and the IRS, cries racism and tries to hide behind the work of giants in the civil rights movement. The birds, the fish, the leopard, all have camouflage built into their feathers and their coats. Stealth built into their genetic code. Man uses deceit where other animals rely on stealth. Now, why am I talking about this? I'll tell you why. Because in my own backyard, in my California garden, I was having a cup of coffee this morning. And as I observe nature through the seasons, I notice it's identical to the way it's been ever since I've lived out here in the early 70s. There's been no noticeable change in climate. In fact, if you read Christmas carols, you know it snows in the winter. Everybody knows that, but Al Gore and the schmucks in Bali telling us the world is coming to an end because of man-induced global warming. Tell that to the people in Boston who just got walloped with a real winter storm. They expect it in December. Al Gore apparently doesn't understand that the calendar turns cold in December, and snow falls in Boston in December. Instead, he's in Bali telling us that the world's coming to an end, and we have to give him money for carbon credits or something to that effect. So anyway, I'm standing there having a cup of coffee in my kitchen, looking out the window, and I see tiny little beautiful birds nibbling on the lawn, or between the lawn. And I don't know what they're eating. I don't know which birds they are, truthfully. I know they're migrating somewhere. And I went up on my roof. I have a flat roof. And every winter about this time, even though it's Northern California, you can ice skate on my roof. The moisture accumulates, and it turns to ice. And I kind of like it, living in California and having ice on my roof. So I climb back down the ladder and observe the birds having my first cup of coffee, standing far enough away that they wouldn't fly away. And I noticed these little guys hopping around between the grass, eating something. I don't know what they're eating. But I was curious enough to slowly walk out, and of course they flew away, but I was curious. And I looked down and I saw tiny little seeds, but they weren't grass seeds, certainly in December. And then I looked up, and lo and behold, there they were. Some of them were still up in the limbs of the liquid ambar tree. Now, the liquid ambar tree is a very interesting tree. It's a sweet gum tree. It originally, I think, from the southeast, but it's quite prevalent throughout the world now. And it produces interesting leaves in the autumn. But here's what I noticed. The little birds were up in the tree, and as I'm drinking my coffee, I was being showered with a very fine seed. The birds were eating at the catkins, or the when I call it a catkin, you're talking about a capsule that holds the seeds that appears in the autumn after the leaves fall off the tree. These are very tough catkins. They're known as ankle breakers, because when they fall on the ground, if you step on them, you're going to twist your ankle because they're very sharp. But these little birds were up there pecking away at these catkins, as I say, getting the seeds, and I'm being showered by a fine, fine, fine mist of seeds which are falling on the lawn, which explains what the other birds were doing on the lawn, which was either they were too lazy to go up in the tree, or they're another species of bird that eats the seed when they fall down on the lawn. In either case, nature is perfect. In either case, the ecology that I witnessed, the interchange between the grass, the seed, the birds, the trees, is gorgeous. It's called beautiful. And that's why I say, camouflage in the seat. Camouflage in the seat, children. All of nature is about deception. Man being part of nature is by nature deceptive. The self-righteous progressive who gets caught with kiddie pornography says he was researching a book. The so-called civil rights leader today who was raided by the FBI and the IRS cried, racism, and tries to hide behind the work of giants in his field. And as I say to you, it's all deceit. It's all stealth. It's all camouflage. And on to the miracle of God's earth, as seen in my own California backyard. This is the Savage Nation, and I promise you I am not alluding to anything in this monologue. Now give me some starting music, and I'll start the show now that I've gotten that out of my system. Any kind of music would be good, as long as it isn't the Olive Garden. I know I've caught my... There you go. They read my mind. There you go. I'm softly, darling.
Come softly, darling.
Who is this?
Come to me.
Who's singing this? Fleetwood Mac. Turn this off. It's schmaltzy. It ruined my monologue. See, you throw pearls before Schweinhund. What are you going to get? You're going to get the Fleetwoods. 1-800-449-8255. Tax boost predicted in face of state's largest deficit since 91. I open up the website here for the local newspaper, and I see that the state of California is going broke again because Arnold Schwarzenegger has bankrupted the state by overspending on liberal programs such as homosexual education for the average child. God knows what else he threw the money down the rat hole with, but they're saying, oh my God, estimated $14 billion deficit. My God, we need higher taxes. Now, we already pay 10% state tax. That's state income tax over federal tax. Listen to what I just said to you. If you live in New Hampshire, or you live in Florida, or you live in the state of Washington, or you live in Wyoming, you don't pay these gangsters any state taxes, do you? But our gangsters skim 10% off the top of every dollar you earn. So what's their solution to spending like the criminals they are? they're going to raise the taxes even more. Now, hold on. They just did that a year ago. They slapped on a 1% surcharge of anyone who makes above a certain amount for a mental health tax. Now, we don't know where the money goes, but that 1% added up to billions of dollars. Where'd the 1% go, Arnold? It certainly didn't go into the strudel you've been stuffing down your kiss. You know, where'd the money go, Arnold? Now, what do you mean? You're going to tax us again? How about this, Arnold Schwarzenegger? Cut services to illegal aliens, you bum. Don't raise taxes. Kick the illegal aliens out of the state of California. Stop giving them free education. Stop giving the bums free medication. And the amount of money being sent out of the state of California to Mexico alone is between $15 and $20 billion, Arnold. And you don't have to be a weightlifter to know that. And moreover, you don't have to use steroids to know that, Arnold. Now, I understand there's a big steroid scandal in the baseball world. Not being a sports fan, I didn't pay much attention to it, but I was right again. When they went after Barry Bonds, if you recall, I was the only one in the media who said, leave him alone, it looks like racism to me to pick on this guy. They're picking on him when everybody's using the steroids, or at least a lot of them are. I'm on record having said that. I didn't do it to gain any friends or make any friends. It's the way it was, and I knew it. And I knew that when they brought in this bum who had this commission today, this troublemaker, whatever, what's his name, Beowulf, the troublemaker who does these investigations? George Mitchell, great George Mitchell. He goes to Ireland, he almost set the country on fire. Wherever he goes, there's always something horrible follows. The minute they sent him in to investigate steroids, I knew they'd destroy the game. But this is what happens. You pick on a guy like Barry Bonds, and then you call in a guy like George Mitchell, the next thing you know, the whole baseball industry is going to collapse. It's the same thing with talk radio. You're going to start picking on Michael Savage using a front stealth group like CARE? You keep doing it, you're going to find out that I'm innocent and they're guilty, and you're going to destroy the entire talk radio industry. But you rat liberal scum don't even know what you're doing, do you? You don't even know how suicidal you really are. We know how suicidal you are. And let me tell you something. You can jump off the cliff, but you're not pulling me with you. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
So I opened up by talking about camouflage and deceit. You've got civil rights hucksters who pretend that they're victims of racism. You've got self-righteous liberals who pretend that they're victims of persecution. They were only writing books on child pornography. You have illegal aliens who were told they're all victims of a racist society when they're ripping us off, sending home at least $15 to $20 billion a year to Mexico, the exact amount of money that the state of California sees as a budget deficit. And that money is going to support them with schooling and medication that they're not entitled to. So instead of raising our taxes, I have to read today that members of Governor Arnold Strudelnagel's staff met with a lobbyist for the so-called Western Center on Law and Poverty, an advocacy group for the sponging bums on the bottom, and the illegal aliens. And what they want are higher taxes. Now, I'll tell you, I'm going to ask you a question. Would you leave California if Strudelnagel raises state taxes? How many of you out there want to get on this show and say, Arnold, don't do it. You're going to drive the most productive citizens out of this state. We've had enough of you. Cut spending and stop raising taxes. No, but they don't think that way. Here we have an executive director of the California Budget Project. She said we need more public investment, not less. Jean Ross said California needs a tax increase. She said we need a tax increase. Then we have another one who said that. Someone by the name of Levy, Center for the Continuing Study of the California Economy. These are usually people in a cloakroom at a university. They're called a center. It's a guy in a cloakroom, you know, with a computer and a keyboard. And he said we need more taxes, too. He said, I don't see where the state is well served by making a $14 billion cut. We don't need a cut. He said we need a sales tax. We want to apply a sales tax to services such as those provided by attorneys, accountants, consultants, architects, and auto repair shops, said Levy. I don't know who this Levy is, but Levy probably has never run a hot dog stand. Levy's run the Center for Continuing Study of the California Economy in a cloakroom at one of the lesser universities. Levy doesn't understand that when you start taxing the most productive citizens, they leave the state, Levy. Levy, you won't even have a job, Levy, if you keep it up. So he said he wants a sales tax on goods. And he said California services industry is worth $700 billion a year. And he wants to raise taxes on it. Now, of course, here it comes. They want an increase in income tax for the rich. For the rich. Now, who are the rich? Why, that's anybody who is not poor. Now, who's poor? That's anybody who's not an illegal alien. So a tax on the rich is anybody who's here legally. And that's Strudelnagel's solution to the $14 billion tax deficit. What they should do is, I say to you, I can, instead of saying budget cuts? Okay, K-12 education is $45 billion a year. Listen to this. This is the state of California. $14 billion shortfall in the coming fiscal year. I want you to listen to the state's $145 billion budget. $45 billion goes to K-12 education. Do you think you get your money's worth? Health and Human Services, what does that mean? Welfare, $38 billion. Welfare, including welfare for illegal aliens, $38 billion. Higher education, $15 billion to the universities. We won't say a word about that. Corrections and rehabilitation, that means jails, milks out almost $10 billion a year. Operates 34 adult and 8 juvenile prisons. Serving, listen to the word, serving. Serving 174,000 prisoners. Do you hear the word serving? We owe the prisoners service. Many illegal aliens, as you know, prefer prison in California to regular life in their third world country. It costs us $50,000 a year thanks to the lawyers, thanks to the prison guards union, and thanks to the fact that we take much too good care of our prisoners. Since we're outsourcing business, as I say, outsource prison services, we could save an awful lot of money. Mike would suggest that we could outsource a good portion of the $10 billion of the prison costs in the state of California. For example, China, plenty of empty land, plenty of busy little hands who could build prisons, and they could probably take care of a prisoner for $1,500 a year instead of $50,000 a year. Albeit they wouldn't have color TV and weights, steroids, marijuana, cocaine, amphetamines, and condoms, but they'd be a prisoner in China. Or you could outsource prisons to Siberia. The Russians have a lot of busy little hands with nothing to do. They could build prisons in Siberia, and you could send the lifers to Siberia with the ACLU lawyers. And when the lawyers want to appeal, they'd have to send it in from somewhere 10 degrees north of Minsk. You could probably save another $5 billion a year by outsourcing the prisons to Russia. Now, Arnold, I realize this is thinking outside the box. And I know you have many, many smart boys and girls from the universities who like to come in all brushed, their teeth all brushed, and they make nice Windsor knots. And they all say, well, we're going to think outside the box, Governor. Let us get back to you. We're a consulting group. We're going to think outside the box. Well, let me tell you something, people. In my knowledge of the world, anybody working inside the box cannot think outside the box. It's only people who live outside the box, like myself, who can actually think outside the box. And Arnold, I'm going to tell you something else. You raise taxes on the rich in this state, you're going to destroy this state. Go back to Austria. That's where you belong. Eric in San Diego, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, if they raise taxes, I'm gone. I'm taking everything I got and leaving.
I would. I'd sell everything and get out of this hellhole. They can give it to the illegal aliens and the perverts. That's all that'll be left here. I mean, who do they think is providing the engine of this economy? The illegal aliens who send it home to Mexico and Nicaragua and El Salvador? No, they're not the engine of this economy. I'm the engine of this economy. You're the engine of this economy. Every small businessman who makes over $150,000 a year is the engine of the California economy. That's who the engine is. Don't tax us, Arnold. Cut the damn money that you give to those illegal aliens. They're the leeches. They're the leeches. They're not entitled to schooling. They're not entitled to medication.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
Listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
I can read you some stories on michaelsavage.com that'll get you sick to see how we're melting down as a civilization. It's sickening. Democrats said amen to Ramadan, but forget about Christmas. That's from WorldNet Daily up on my site. CIA interrogators fear prosecution. Do you hear this? It's a world upside down. The asylees are trying to arrest, detain, and hurt the people who have kept this country alive. Here's a few more articles. Lack of pardon for agents. Border Patrol agents ripped for not including former U.S. Border Patrol agents. I told you that was shameful what Bush did. Here's another one. Muhammad is set to overtake Jack as the most popular boy's name in Britain as a result of the high birth rate of Muslims in Britain. Do you hear this? You hear this? They come in, they have 12, 15 children. Most of them are on welfare. The girls and boys in England don't have children. They're too busy getting drunk and fornicating. There's going to be no England anymore. In fact, play there's no England anymore. Play there's no England anymore. There isn't. It's Pakistan North. And when they get the nukes that Britain developed in the submarines, you'll understand what I'm talking about, you morons. You morons! You suicidal morons! Morons!
All the wars that were won or lost somehow don't
let them all in till I cut your throat.
All the lies we were told, all the lives of the people running round their castles.
Oh man, do we need leadership in the West? We have garbage running everything. Weak garbage, liars, corrupt garbage.
Inside, we're the same.
Vermin! They'd sell their grandmother down the river for $100. Then they get on the air, they give you the quiet voice, nice guy voice. That's what you want. That's all you want to hear is a nice politician. God forbid he should raise his voice and express outrage, righteous indignation. Oh, he's not a nice guy. He's not a nice man. He has testosterone. That's evil. No, we don't want that kind of man. We want a nice schmuck. A nice schmuck who never gets angry. So the enemies can walk all over us. That's what you want for a leader? Well, that's what you're going to get for a leader. Is a nice schmuck, a deceitful, camouflaged schmuck, a backstabbing SOB who'll sell your country down the river. Where do you think these poison products from China are coming from? You think they're coming here by accident? How come the steel we're getting into this country is inferior steel and the structures of buildings are collapsing? Why? Because the vermin who opened up the door to the garbage from China to cash out are the reason. That's why. Wherever you turn, there's deceit, there's camouflage, and the whole country is melting down. But that's just the beginning of it. Forget about poison toothpaste. How about a poisoned immigration policy that lets in enemies who swear allegiance to a foreign god, and they swear allegiance to a foreign country, a foreign ideology that despises the freedoms that you have enjoyed, and the politicians bend over backwards to celebrate their allegiance to anything that's not American. Do you understand how sick this all is? And all these so-called debates. Debates? Are you kidding yourself? You call what goes on debates when they all kiss each other's, rub each other's backs, and none of them will talk about the I word, the Republican debate? Ugh, garbage! I'd vote for a pigeon before I'd vote for Giuliani. I'd vote for a mockingbird before I'd vote for Romney right now. Let them get down and talk to the people. I wouldn't give them a vote. Now, 35 million of you have gone onto my website since last February. 35 million people who are fed up with these hummingbirds called politicians. But they're not even as good as hummingbirds, are they? At least we know what a hummingbird is. 1-800-449-8255. I'm so fed up today. Why am I fed up today? I wake up, the first article I see is state's largest deficit since 91, and they want to increase taxes. We have the highest state taxes in the United States of America. Arnold Strudelnagel is the biggest phony that ever invaded the governor's office. He came to power saying he was going to stop the illegal aliens. He wasn't going to give them driver's licenses. And now we turn around They're bleeding us dry by sending the money to Mexico untaxed, to Nicaragua untaxed, to El Salvador untaxed, God knows where else untaxed. They work in the underground economy. They send their earnings out of the state. They don't even spend it here. And they get free medical care. They get free education. They get free legal services. God knows what else they're taking out of the system. And they're telling me I have to pay for more of this garbage. I say cut services to these illegal aliens, you bums. Don't raise my taxes. If you do, I'm out of here. And you say, well, good luck, good riddance. Let me tell you, I'm not alone. You're going to drive the most productive citizens out of this state, and then you're going to have nothing left here. That's what's going to happen. It's just like Eastern Europe was before the collapse of the wall, where the corrupt politicians destroyed the middle class. That's exactly what Schwarzenegger and this gang is going to do here. So you say, well, you're not from California, and you don't care. Well, you should care, because the mindset of Arnold Schwarzenegger is the same as that of Governor Spitz-in-your-face-er. Governor Spitz-in-your-face-er. Do you think he's any different? Here's another story for you. Al Sharpton, Tawana Brawley's good friend. Al Sharpton, the great civil rights leader, except when he was outside Freddie's Fashion Mart with a bullhorn, and the building just happened to catch fire and a few people died. Al Sharpton. Today his office is, not him personally, of course, not Al Sharpton personally, because he's above any kind of doubt. You know, he's such a great civil rights leader. Instead, the subpoenas were launched against his aides 6:30 this morning by the FBI and the IRS. Have you heard this story? 6:30 in the morning, the FBI and the IRS raid his offices into his 2004 presidential bid. And, of course, he says he's innocent, not only that, but it's because he's a black man and because of his civil rights advocacy. Yeah, sure, Al. Tell it to Fox News. They're the only people on earth that would believe you. I don't believe a word this man says, not after the Tawana Brawley, not after the Freddy's Fashion Mart, and not after what he tried to do to a talk show host named Imus, because he was jealous because he didn't have a show as good as his. That's all it was. As many as 10 Sharpton associates were subpoenaed Wednesday to testify before a federal grand jury in Brooklyn, his lawyer told the Daily News. Federal authorities subpoenaed Al's financial records and employees in an apparent probe of his presidential bid, non-profit civil rights groups, and for-profit businesses. I guess they're suggesting, and of course he's innocent until proven guilty, is that there may have been some commingling of funds. But of course, as you well know, that only applies to certain people, not to others. And the FBI agent who answered the phone refused to comment. An IRS spokesman did not immediately return phone calls. But as you well know, Al is only being attacked because he's such a sterling civil rights leader. And of course, you know he's gonna overcome this, because he's definitely innocent. Anything that is they try to attach to him, as you well know, will not stick. The Reverend Al Sharpton, again, we were asking over and over again on the show, where did the Reverend earn his divinity degree? I'm sure he did, because after all, everyone on Fox News walks on all fours and says Reverend when he appears on the show. Therefore, he must have a legitimate divinity degree. We just don't know where it's from. Pardon our ignorance. Sharpton said at this Harlem headquarters, I have probably been under every investigation known to man, and I can't remember a time that I've not been under investigation. Duh. So what are you complaining about? Wait a minute. Why have a press conference if you've always been under investigation, and this is no different? Why did you have a press conference? Well, I guess it's a little different, because the federal authorities subpoenaed financial records and employees in a probe of his non-profit civil rights group and for-profit businesses. Oh, he has two? And his presidential bid. I guess he works both sides of the streets. The street, you could have a non-profit civil rights group, and you could have a for-profit business. Not bad. Not bad. Which hat do you wear, and which collar do you wear at which time? Which do you wear when you go on Fox News and they walk on all fours and ask you your opinion of various things? Well, let's hope that he's innocent until proven guilty, just like Bernie Ward. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Any topic is not fair game. What would you like to talk about? Let's go to Los Angeles, 8:30 on the dial. Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, how are you today? Listen, Mike, I think we need something like a miracle that's going to get California out of this rut we're in. I mean, the property taxes, the housing market, If Schwarzenegger thinks he's going to raise taxes on top of the energy bill and the gas bill and everything that we pay, how's a working class guy supposed to get by and make a living, in, especially with health care costs?
You got no, they're going to raise sales taxes on those items. They're going to raise state income taxes. They'll do everything except deport the illegal aliens and cut off the amount of money they're robbing from the state through free medical care and free education, which they're not entitled to. How many times do I have to say if you're here illegally, you don't have an access to a medical clinic? Who's paying for that, Mike? You are. Okay. Have you been into a hospital recently? Have you been into a hospital emergency room in the state?
Story for you. I was in a hospital. And I was in between my insurance. And
everybody in there speaks Spanish. They all go in there for primary care. If they have a runny nose, they go in there for a nice medical care. Because we're idiots. Why don't they go to Mexico and see if they'll get such nice care down there? They're here illegally. They walk and waltz into a hospital, 6 to 10 of them, and they sit around. I got a runny nose. My eye hurts me. My hand hurts me. And they want free medical care. But they're not entitled to it. They're not entitled to it. We should put a cop or an ICE investigator in every emergency room in Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, California, Illinois, New Mexico, Iowa, Florida, wherever the illegals are robbing our health care system blind, and prohibit them from getting medical care. Then you won't have to tax anybody, Mike. That alone would save $10 billion a year.
Michael.
Thanks for the call. Look, I have the solutions, which is why I'm not in politics. I'm in talk radio. The people without solutions other than taxation, without representation, are the people in the silk suits who give you those phony smiles. Remember, taxation without representation is what caused the American Revolution. We are past the point of no return with these gangsters. These fraudulent, smiling, phony gangsters. They're robbing us all blind. They're flooding us with illegal aliens and making us pay for their niceness, for their humanity. And I say to you, taxation without representation is what triggered the first American Revolution, and whether you know it or not, we are in the midst of the early stages of the second American Revolution. The people are fighting back from the local level, from the county level, from the municipal level. They are standing up to the governors, they're standing up to the president, they're standing up to the Congress, and they're taking the country back from these gangsters. I'll be right back.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. We're talking about various problems, the biggest problem being the camouflage and deceit of our so-called leaders. You can see it with the debates. The interest in them is at an all-time low because everybody knows they're deceitful and camouflaged and useless. You can see it in the poll numbers for the candidates. Everybody has finally come to understand they're all the same, with a slight degree of difference on one side and the other. By and large, it's the same thing. And we don't know where this is going to end up. We're being overrun by the illegal aliens. We're being told that we have to raise taxes to pay for them. And they're not even mentioning the illegal aliens' cost to the state or the states. We're told that there's a budget deficit, just like presto. Where does it go? Well, you have to read the budget. So you read the budgets. Where does it go? Well, you look into the budget like I do because you pay me to do that. That's my job. So we have, for example, in one state, I'm going to give you an example. It's a big state. It could be your state, mine. Education in this state costs $45 billion a year. Operates nearly 10,000 public schools serving again. Look at the word serving more than 6.3 million students. How many of them are illegal? No answer. Health and Human Services, $38 billion. Provides health care, social services, public assistance, that's welfare, rehabilitation, that's taking care of junkies, to millions of Californians. Now, that is that illegal Californians or legal? Oh, we don't discriminate. We're good liberals. We don't discriminate between citizens and illegals. There is no human is illegal. They're all entitled. They're all entitled to medical care and health care, rehabilitation, heart operations, new hips, knees. Higher education, $15 billion to 10 campuses, 23 state colleges, 109 community colleges, serving, again, serving about 3.4 million students. Really, and how many of them are illegal aliens? Arnold, we don't know. Business, transportation, and housing, $13 billion. Operates and maintains freeways and bridges. That's not bad. They're all broken. Runs the Department of Mexican Voting, I mean Department of Motor Vehicles, DMV, pardon me, and finances construction of affordable housing. Now, how much of the $13 billion is being stolen to build housing for bums and illegal aliens instead of patching the roadways? We don't know. You put me in charge. If I ever wanted to be in charge, I'd clean this state up so fast you wouldn't know what hit you. I'd cut off, I would put state immigration officers in every hospital and every school in the state. That's how I'd start. You want a plan? I'll give you a plan in 30 seconds or less. See, I can think outside the box because I'm not in the box. And you don't have to pay me a consulting fee. Don't give me 6 months. Give me 60 seconds, Arnold. Here's the answer. Put a state immigration officer in every emergency room with an armed patrolman. You make anybody who comes in show that they're a legal citizen and a resident of the state of California or deprive them of medical care. Tell them to go back where they came from for it. Unless, of course, it's an actual emergency. Unless they were in a car wreck or they're seriously injured, you have to treat them. I understand that. But not for the runny noses, Arnold, and the hurt fingers from the illegal construction trades that they're in. Arnold, we don't owe them that, do we? And if we do, why are you forcing us to pay for it? And then as the schools go, I'd put police officers and immigration officials in every university. I'd make them go into the admissions offices and go through the records. I'd make them investigate the country of origin, state of origin of every student in the state of California and every other state. And anyone who's an illegal alien has a choice or an out-of-state resident. You're going to pay $10,000 a year in tuition or you're going to leave the university immediately. Now, you want to save money without raising taxes, that's how you do it. It may be insensitive, but it's good fiscal policy. That's called fiscal conservatism. Remember that? Bye-bye fiscal conservatism. Welcome strudel conservatism. Now, what is strudel conservatism? It's a guy who schmoozes you by giving you a great big movie star smile and taxes you to death because he's nothing but Ted Kennedy with broad shoulders. KNEW, San Francisco. Tom, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, if we threw INS into each emergency room, we might discourage the illegals from getting medical attention, and that's insensitive, right?
Oh, it's very insensitive. That's right. How about all the translators in our courts? Do you know that they're entitled to translators if they commit a murder here? We have to provide them translators in Spanish in order to sit through the trial? Do you know that, Tom? How much do those translators cost?
Hey, Michael, I just wanted to let you know that my father was he immigrated here legally from Mexico, and he actually turned me on to you about 10 years ago when you were into the La Raza thing and actually cracked him up. I was a huge fan of your guys across the hall, and you turned me over to thinking rationally in a matter of about 2 days after listening to them since I was about 13 years old. I'm 28 now, and just want to thank you for everything that you do.
Well, thank you, man. You speak better English than I do. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Chicago, Illinois. Roger, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Hey, Michael. I was calling about Sharpton. About a week and a half ago.
Well, excuse me, sir. You must refer to him as Reverend Sharpton on my show. I don't want to be disrespectful to him.
Yes, okay. But anyway, I guess he went to the board of the Olympic Committee. And he's threatening to go to the board of the Olympics if Chicago doesn't address the police brutality. Chicago is bidding for a Olympic to be.
Oh, I see. And he doesn't want Chicago to get it unless what? He gets a piece of the action?
I guess he's strong-arming, he's threatening them to go to the Olympic board.
Yeah, Well, maybe this will help some of the people to stand up to him and the other civil rights activists, so to speak, to use another phrase. Yeah, the civil rights activists. Somehow they go there as civil rights activists, but somehow their private companies wind up benefiting from their action on behalf of the civil rights community. Have you noticed that?
Yes,
it's like a two-armed hydra. This arm is the civil rights arm, and that arm, please, has a big pocket. Put some money in it. Not him, of course. I mean others. Not him or Jesse Jackson. They wouldn't do that.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show. Savage. Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
It is the one and only Savage Nation. If you just joined the show, I opened the last hour with a brilliant monologue on camouflage and deceit about the fact that all of nature is about deception and man being part of nature is by nature deceptive. And I gave you examples. And then I talked about the fact that the state of California is reporting a budget deficit of $14 billion, and our great governor, the so-called conservative Arnold Schwarzenegger, is being encouraged to raise taxes rather than cut spending. And I focused on cutting spending on the illegal aliens who, I will remind you again, are getting free medical care, which they're not entitled to, free health care, which they're not entitled to, free legal services, which they're not entitled to, free housing, which they're not entitled to. And if you cut off all of these so-called benefits to non-citizens, why, then you might not have a budget deficit, you see. And now we have callers on those topics. We also talked about Al Sharpton, who claims that the federal government's investigation into his campaign misconduct, quote-unquote, is motivated by prejudice. And the phone number again is 1-800-449-8255. We go first in this hour to Biloxi, Mississippi. Crystal, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I want to know what your problem is with people from other countries, because not only did you say something about immigrants, you said something about people from China, too.
Crystal, slow down. We can't understand you. What's your main point?
Okay, it just sounds to me like you're kind of racist, like you have a problem with people.
I'm a racist. What, for saying that we don't owe them free medical care? Where's the racism in that, Crystal?
Chinese people, too. What is your problem with
Wait a minute. What does Chinese have to do with this? We're talking primarily about illegal aliens. No one mentioned China except you. Are you sure you're not a racist?
No, I'm not a racist. What I'm saying
well,
is...
Wait a minute now. You raised the issue, the specter of racism. You might be a racist. I want you to prove to me now, are you now or have you ever been a racist against Chinese people?
I've never been a racist against anybody.
Well, how can you prove that? How can you prove you're not a racist against Chinese people? Here I was talking about the illegal aliens from Mexico. I mentioned countries, by the way. Mexico, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Guatemala, and you bring up China. Are you sure you don't have a thing against Chinese people, Crystal? Where did Crystal go?
It's the way you're saying it.
Oh, now you're doing a thought police thing. I mean, you don't like my tone, do you, Crystal?
You know what? You can go ahead and you can sit here and you try to make me sound like an idiot. But
you are an idiot. It's not too difficult to do. What makes you such an expert on racism? What gives you the qualifications to sit there in judgment on another man's racism, so-called? What have you done for an illegal alien recently? Tell me what you've done for one of them recently. Have you given them a free meal? Where are you, Crystal? Have you given an illegal alien recently a free ride, a free meal, a free house? What have you done for an illegal alien recently, Crystal? Oh, there she is, yeah. They sit there in their trailer park, tell me I'm a racist. Naples, Florida. Gary, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mikey Rotson, don't ever leave us.
I am awesome. I'm the best thing in the history of talk radio. And once I leave it, or once I die, or once it's over, nobody will replace me, ever. I am the Joe DiMaggio of talk radio. What's on your mind?
I am so glad you know that. Listen, I did have to calm down everybody in the tent tonight when you were yelling. We love when you yell, but we don't want anything to happen to your voice.
Don't worry. I'll tell you what gets. I'll tell you what blows my voice out more than anything. Yelling at a... it's never on the radio. I rarely blow my voice out on the radio unless I do Doctor on Savage. Then the voice goes, and I don't want to do Doctor on Savage. Also, if I have bad work done around my house, let's say by a fraudulent contractor, as I just had, a guy who painted my house wrong, the voice goes when I go crazy over that.
Do the same thing. Michael, take it easy.
Yeah, I will. I should call. You know what it is why I'm agitated today? Because the topics are getting me crazy. That's why. That's why the topics are getting me sick. one in five babies born in England is to an illegal alien or a somebody from Pakistan. Don't you understand what this is saying to you? What about the birth rate in the United States of America? How many illegal aliens are coming here and dumping a baby on our shores because they're anchor babies who become instant citizens? How many? Do you have the answer to that, Arnold? Do any of you understand that you're losing your nation because of idiocy? Because of the idiocy called progressive liberalism? You're destroying your own living, your own life, your own nation, the ground underneath you, the very ground, the earth underneath you, the soil under your feet you're selling out. Do you understand that? The Chinese are poisoning us. The Mexicans are overrunning us and milking us dry out of the with the hospitals and the schools. And we're sitting here, oh, the politicians, the Democrats are going to save us. Obama is going to save us. Oh, Obama suddenly is the hope? Are you crazy? Are you crazy? The only thing good about Obama is he's undermined Hillary. Listen to clip 19. Here's Obama.
What we've seen 19. Is an economy that's out of balance because of the policies of George Bush and the Republicans.
All right, get him off the stage. Get the hook. Economy out of balance. How exciting can you get, Obama? You know, Obama is not an innocent babe in the woods. He's a corrupt ward politician from Chicago. Do you understand that he has a history in Chicago? He wasn't born yesterday. Why don't you check out Obama's background? He is a corrupt ward politician from Chicago, in my estimation. But now suddenly he's the shining knight to Hollywood. The shining knight, the outsider. He's just a small fish from one of the Chicago districts there who bought and sold and traded in this. You ever watch The Brotherhood on Showtime about the Irish machine in Providence? You ever watch that show? Well, watch that show and tell me that this guy's different than the lead character on Brotherhood, you know? Then there's the schmuck Richardson. Listen to 20.
We have to balance the budget. I would advocate for line item veto authority for the president.
Oh, that's no – hold on here. Hold on. The roadrunner Richardson says we have to balance the budget. That's amazing. That is such an insight. Ooh. Then we have overbite Biden. Let's listen to him.
You don't have to make a choice of balancing the budget and or leading with the priorities that most of us feel strongly about, from health care to education to the environment. And
let's
just
stop right there. There we are again, the same playbook. Just Medicare, Medicaid, the environment. Medicare, Medicaid, the environment. Okay, now let's go on to Edwards, the shyster trial lawyer.
Well, first of all, what we have to do is get rid of the structural deficiencies in the American economy.
Yeah, hold on. The biggest structural deficiency in the American economy are men like you. Class action lawyers, thieving lawyers like you. You're the biggest structural deficiency in our economy, Edwards. And I don't know how you've gotten away with it this long. I don't know how you're not in an orange jumpsuit calling someone Bubba. Now let's listen to Hillary Clinton.
Well, fiscal responsibility is a very high priority for me. We don't have to go back very far in our history, in fact, just to the 1990s, to see what happens when we do have a fiscally responsible budget that
does do you understand what this is? This is high school or junior high school level rubbish. That's a so-called Democrat debate. This is unbelievable to me that the people would listen to this. The only people who could find this interesting would be Neil Cavuto and Wolf Blitzer. Then you got former Senator George Mitchell, whoever he is. Does he make a living going around doing studies? Let's hear clip 29 about baseball and steroids.
For more than a decade, there has been widespread illegal use of anabolic steroids and other performance-enhancing substances by players in Major League Baseball.
Oh, my God.
In violation of federal law and baseball policy.
All right. Now, what about the widespread use of Prozac and Prozac-like compounds that are used by politicians? Do we have a right to know how many of our politicians are drugged out of their gourds and don't know what they're talking about and are running the country into the ground, permitting poisonous products from China and illegal aliens from Mexico to overrun the country? How about investigating drug usage, legal and illegal, amongst our politicians? How about making them take drug tests, for God's sakes, you idiots? They make you take a drug test, don't they? You go for a job, you have to take a drug test. How about our politicians? How many of them would still be in the job tomorrow? Think about it and get back to me when I return to the Savage Nation.
Yeah. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show.
Here's the sound of the Obama-Hillary voting machine.
Oh, they're for the people. Hillary's good. But we need to get the economy balanced. We have to get rid of the structural deficiency. We got to get those get the corporations. We need more health care. We need education. We need to clear out the environment. Cut money to no money for guns. We got to cut out corporate welfare. Oh, it's Bush and Nixon who did it. Prices are too high. It's the war in Iraq and gasoline and Halliburton. Oh, elect us. We'll get more education and health care. And we'll clean up the environment. No greed. No greed. We're good.
All right. They got the message. 1-800-449-8255. I'm exhausted already. I had a chocolate, like tofutti frozen thing, and an espresso before the show. It was like rocket fuel. My God, it's frightening. You know, you fly like 70,000 feet, but man, after the show, you're like crawling around in the muck. You know, you're like, I got to go to dinner tonight. Oh, I don't want to eat after. Who could eat after this? Boy, that sugar and caffeine work. God bless it. Of course, they'll put that out of business too. You notice this? The schmucks had a meeting yesterday with Arnold Schwarzenegger's department of something the other day, and they're going to now attack caffeine. You hear this? Caffeine is no good now. Everything's illegal except marijuana, crack cocaine. Everything that's illegal, they don't attack. But everything's legal is a problem to these schmucks that come out of these think tanks. Did you know they took away cigarettes from inmates in prison? I want you to think about the insanity of this. You got guys incarcerated. They got no outlet whatsoever, so they smoke a cigarette. No, took away the tobacco, so now they have to double their efforts to get marijuana or Prozac or Valium or whatever in the jail cell to kill the monotony. That's the think tanks, these schmuck liberals, they're insane. Do you know that liberalism is a mental disorder? Do you understand everything they do, everything they touch? Everything they touch is polluted. Everything. Nothing makes sense. Nothing that they do makes sense. Nothing. We got a budget deficit in the state of California from Mr. Arnold Schwarzenegger, the fiscal conservative who came along like the knight in shining armor who was going to save the state from the evil Democrats. Boom, 6 years, whatever, boom, click, the same budget deficit. Where'd the money go? He don't know. He's busy flying around having a good time in Hyannisport. He doesn't know. Where's California? He has no idea where it is. He thinks it's a province of Massachusetts. WOR. Bill, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I agree with you so much. Schwarzenegger is such a phony, isn't he?
Yes. Yes, the worst governor in the history of the state, and I'll tell you why. When we had a diehard liberal, we knew what we were getting. Then we got this stealth liberal called Arnold Schwarzenegger, who has introduced more liberalism into this state than any Democrat ever could have gotten away with.
Absolutely, I agree. And I happen to have some other information on him you're going to love because I know how passionate you are about health and wellness. I happen to be a personal fitness trainer. I'm a natural bodybuilder. I've competed on the state and multi-state level successfully. And the bottom line is, from Schwarzenegger forward, the bodybuilding community, I don't know if you pay attention to it at all, it has gone completely downhill, and the steroid use is completely out of control. Before Schwarzenegger, it was very limited, and it was actually frowned upon because health and wellness.
Are you implying that he's the Barry Bonds of the weightlifting world, of the bodybuilding world that he was?
Yes, absolutely. He ruined that sport.
I can't respond to that because it's an accusation that's very, very inflammatory. And as you well know, I don't deal in inflammatory issues.
Okay.
But I don't think that kind of body development when he was younger is a natural body. You say, well, I don't know much about it. I actually do. When I was a 16-year-old, I started bodybuilding, Bill, at a primitive gym called American Health Studios on Jamaica Avenue. Do you remember them? forget Jamaica Avenue, but did you remember American Health Studios? They were one of the first bodybuilding chains in this country. I don't know if you recall those that era.
No.
Yeah, well, I'd go after school from high school, and I would pump in front of the mirrors and this and that. I was obsessed with it, and there were no drugs used at that time. You know what we all used? Protein pills. They were sweet because they were full of fructose or mannitol. I don't know what they had in them. But we'd pop protein pills. I didn't know about steroids. And then suddenly in the a little later than that era, guys were starting to show up. Excuse me, let's go back a bit. You had guys like Steve Reeves, for example, who had perfect Adonis-like physiques, but they were not steroid bodies. Remember those days?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, that you had guys who were perfect in build, but they were more like a Greek statue, a Greek depiction of a perfect man, rather than some distorted freak from a steroid level. I don't know when that happened, or know who brought it into the sport.
And who was the last one before that era was over?
Who was the guy before Schwarzenegger that was the American, let's say, masculine model? Who was it?
Zane. His name was Frank Zane.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I mean, you had guys with 21-inch biceps that were in great shape and all. Were they already on steroids?
Yeah, you really cannot break above about an 18.5-inch bicep without steroids.
I figured something was wrong. When you get those apple-like biceps, I know it's not natural. See, I've seen naturally strong men who are perfectly built, and they're never built like that. Never. That's not a norm. If you look at classical Greek statues, Roman statues, that's the norm of a perfect physique. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
That's the norm. Not a freak show. It wasn't a freak show. It was a guy in very good shape. In other words, a day laborer. A steel worker in Pittsburgh in the 1950s was probably as close to the epitome of a male physique as the human race has ever seen. Am I right about that?
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. To an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
What you're about to hear is one of the most insane jumps in and loss of logic I've ever heard a national or international figure ever engage in. Al Corleone, the head of the Corleone crime family, the most powerful crime syndicate in the world, is in Bali while there's a snowstorm hitting the Northeast. He's talking about the dangers of global warming in Bali, continuing to present the big lie, continuing to put out the lie, continuing to ignore the scientists who are protesting outside the Bali hearing, demanding to be heard. And if you want to see the factualities of that, go on to michaelsavage.com. Skeptical scientists have gathered there and urging the world to have the courage to do nothing at the UN conference. It does not stop this con man from saying things that are beyond comprehension. What he says now insults Jews, it insults gypsies, it insults all the people who died in the Holocaust. I want you to listen to this insulting pig in clip 4.
One of the victims of the horrors of the Third Reich in Europe during World War II wrote a famous passage about the beginnings of the killings, and he said, first they came for the Jews, and I was not a Jew, so I said nothing. Then they came for the gypsies, and I was not a gypsy, and I said nothing. And he listed several other groups, and with each one he said nothing. And then he said, and then they came for me. For those who have believed that this climate crisis was going to affect their grandchildren and still said nothing, and who were shaken a bit to hear that it would affect their children and still said and did nothing, it is affecting us in the present generation.
Alan Corleone is one of the sickest puppies on the planet, but he's very insulting. He is now saying the suffering of the Jews in the Holocaust is equal to the suffering of the ice. So he's comparing a Jew to an ice cap. Do you understand how demented this man actually is, particularly since the science does not support his lies? It's unbelievable to me how he gets away with this, but I'm not surprised by any of this anymore. if the Reverend Al Sharpton can go on Fox News and be and called the Reverend over and over again, and nobody mentions Tawana Brawley, the Tawana Brawley hoax, nobody mentions the Freddie Fashions Mart incident, I'm not surprised by anything anymore. The government officials, the media officials, are really one and the same. Now, you're now going to hear actress Uma Thurman, another great genius, a great climatologist, speaking on global warming at the Nobel Peace Prize Awards. I don't know what she was doing there, but listen to this moron in clip six.
This year's Peace Prize acts as a warning to us all that we are destroying our planet if we don't change our ways.
Let's stop. Listen to this. Listen to the intonation. A warning to us all. You hear? She's putting on a grand performance. Listen again.
This year's Peace Prize acts as a warning to us all that we are destroying our planet if we don't change our ways and our thinking. But is also a timely validation of an organization and an individual who have been vilified by those who've disputed the scientific case for the human role in climate change. Yet in the words of the head of the IPCC, Dr. Rajendra Pachauri, finally, science has won out over skepticism.
Now, what I'd like to do is investigate Uma Thurman's background in science going back to whatever high school she may have gone to. If she went to high school, I don't know. And moreover, I don't know if the High School of Performing Arts actually had science. I suppose that they may or, you know, maybe they had geography or some in Beverly Hills High. I don't know where she went. But how can she say that science has won out over skepticism when there are thousands of scientists around the world who don't believe a word of Al Gore's lies? Now, why would they drag out this drag queen, Uma Thurman, who actually looks like a post-op transvestite to me? I mean, I'm just giving you a one man's observation. Perhaps one of the ugliest actresses that were. How did she become so popular? I don't know that either. She's one mutt, I got to tell you. She has one map on her that every time I look at her, I got to look away. But anyway, let's put aside the fact that I find her ugly. What does she have to do with global warming, and why would the Nobel Peace Prize Committee invite this hag to Norway? What does it have to do with science? The answer is it has nothing to do with science. They've now become sort of a roadshow, pushing their left-wing socialist agenda, using any actor or actress they can get their hands on. I fully expect Sean Penn to be invited to the next Nobel Prize ceremony to talk about the induction of Hugo Chavez into the Nobel Committee for having introduced a sort of soft fascism to his native country with a little help from Hollywood, and rewarding him with a Nobel Peace Prize for not having killed too many people in introducing a sort of soft fascism to his native country, and then, of course, inviting Sean Penn to talk about the wonders of soft fascism. But then again, sarcasm and such is lost on the American ear. 1-800-449-8255. If you doubt that there are skeptics in this global warming hype, would you please, for God's sakes, finally promise me? Let's say you're too cheap to send me $5 for the defense fund, but you read my website because it's free. I understand. I know how it works. Go on to the whole panel, Debunking Global Warming, and take a look at the articles. Scientists respond to Gore's warnings. Are sunspots the prime suspects in global warming? Climate change an excuse to tax the bleep out of us? Less than half of published scientists endorse global warming theory. Greenland ice find debunks Al Gore's global warming theories. Hurricane scientists flubbed forecasts for 2 years. Global warming, it's natural, say experts. CNN meteorologist says inaccuracies in Gore film. Weather Channel founder says global warming biggest hoax in history. Many of you don't know that the ice pack in Antarctica that has recently been measured is the thickest it has ever been found to be. Let me repeat that. The Antarctic ice cap is thicker than ever recorded. You don't hear about that, do you? No. What you hear about is a couple of polar bears who died. The total number of polar bears who died because of thinning ice is 4, but Al Gore has turned them into 4,000. What you also don't know is that in 1950, there were 250 polar bears left, and now there are 5,000 or 25,000. Al Gore conveniently leaves that out of his gigantic lie. So be very, very careful who you listen to. And just understand that just because I'm a conservative doesn't mean I don't know what I'm talking about. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. Honolulu, Hawaii. Bill, welcome to the Savage Nation. Listening on KHBZ, welcome to the program.
First off, I donate $100 to the Michael Savage Defense Fund. Second, a while back, you said that you thought that that Obama, the invented candidate who came out of nowhere, was really just a puppet for the Hillary campaign, and at the end of the day, he'll run as her vice president under one big, progressive, liberal, anti-American, globalist campaign. You still that way?
No, but I'm glad you listened so carefully. I did say those things, and I'm still not right or wrong, because I don't know how this is going to end up. It may be a smart triangulation for Hillary to decide he should be her running running mate. I don't know if she's going to do that or not. Right now it looks like they're competitors, but I'm not so sure it's not part of the act. So I don't know how it's going to end up, Bill. I could have been wrong, but I also may turn out to be right, correct?
Absolutely correct.
See, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know who he is. I know this. I know he's a ward politician from the Chicago area. He's just like the rest of them. He swapped and he traded and he bought and he sold power until this time. Where he came from and why, nobody really knows. Nobody knows where the money is coming from behind Obama. And until we see the end of this whole game, I can't comment any further. If she picks him as a running mate, I will have been a genius. If she doesn't, I will have been wrong. Okay, but in either case, thank you very much for the listenership. You see, I love the people on this show. They listen carefully to see if they can catch me. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Let's go to the callers. WOR in New York City, the land of the snow. Megan, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. I have a question for you. I have a class, and they want me to watch An Inconvenient Truth, and I'm wondering how I can combat this.
Oh, thank God you called. Oh, do I love you. Do you know what happened in England? They were trying to force school children in England to watch this rubbish, this propaganda film. Well, a lorry driver, meaning a truck driver. See, the average man is smarter than Al Gore thinks. The eggheads are too stupid to fight him. A truck driver was so offended by the lies in Gore's movie that he sued the British government, claiming it was propaganda. And the highest British court found that it had seven major lies in it. And every time that fraudulent lying movie is shown to school children, they have to put out a disclaimer and show the lies in the movie. Now, I don't have the lies that they found in the movie. They're very significant, Megan. But if you go do a Google search and put in Al Gore's movie, distortions and lies, you're going to get an awful lot of skeptics who are going to come up on that page. Or you can put in Al Gore's movie, in Britain, debate. See what comes up then, Megan, and you'll probably find it almost immediately. Once you find the British case, print out a succinct copy of it, one page or less, bring it to school, and make your teacher look at it. And if the teacher will not discuss it with you, get back to me, and I'll consider hiring you a lawyer to sue the school district. How's that? Would you like that?
I would love that.
What grade are you in?
I'm a freshman.
In high school? Good for you. You're smart enough to be skeptical. But listen, Megan, I'm not kidding you. I have supported police. I have supported soldiers. I've supported Marines. Now I'm going to support a student. There are certain campaigns that are worth doing, and you are perfect because you're bright. You're skeptical as a young person should be. Not believe me, not believe him. Why don't you believe the facts? So, Megan, again, what did I ask you to do? Let's repeat before we leave each other. What are you going to do when you get off the air?
Go on Google and research Al Gore lies, Britain, and print that out.
Well, not lies. You may not find it that way. I do a search on the Al Gore's film, controversy. Al Gore's film, in Britain, controversy. Or controversy about Al Gore's film in Britain. Try it many different permutations and combinations of the same thing, and you'll be amazed what comes up on Google, which is an amazing search engine. I'm lucky because I had 25 years in the world of researching and writing books and science, so I'm pretty good at putting in the right words. The key words in a search engine will always produce miracles. The key is to know what to put into a search, and then you're going to wind up with amazing results, Megan. And again, When you get that, print it up one page or less, study it yourself, see how inaccurate his film is, discuss it with your teacher, insist upon a parent-teacher meeting. Will your parents back you up if the teacher gets arrogant?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, good for you. And then we'll sue him. We'll teach him that the lawsuit can work two ways, Megan. Now, thank you very much for calling the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
The human species face a planetary emergency.
Turn this crook off. Now, Phil Newmark, one of the great guys who works for the Savage Nation, ran a search during the break. He did a Google search. Al Gore film, comma, England, comma, lies. And we hit the jackpot. We got four cherries turned up. Here it is. Get your pens out. It can be found. The article is Judge Attacks Nine Errors in Al Gore's Alarmist Climate Change Film. You can find it on thisislondon.co.uk/news. And here's what it says. Mr. Justice Burton said former U.S. Vice President Gore's film, An Inconvenient Truth, was, quote, one-sided and would breach education rules unless accompanied by a warning. Despite winning lavish praise from the environmental lobby and an Oscar from the film industry, Gore's documentary was found to contain nine scientific errors by the judge. Can you believe this? A high court judge ruled Al Gore's movie was alarmist and exaggerated. These inconvenient truths included the claim that the snows on Mount Kilimanjaro were disappearing and solely due to the global warming, and that sea levels will rise up to 20 feet in the near future. Can you believe this? Impressed by the film's slick message on climate change, the government sent copies of the documentary to all secondary schools in England earlier this year, ruling that the film could be shown in schools as part of the climate change resource pact. Mr. Justice Burton warned it must be accompanied by new guidance notes to balance Gore's partisan views. The high court action was brought by a father of two who accused the Labour Party of brainwashing children with propaganda. Can you believe this? Kent School Governor Stuart Dimmock claimed the film was unfit for schools as it was politically partisan, containing serious scientific inaccuracies and sentimental mush. Lorry driver, that's a truck driver, and member of the political group, the New Party, Mr. Dimmock, had sought a court order. Anyway, he goes into the whole thing, read the article, and here are the nine errors. The judge then set out nine errors in the movie, which went against current mainstream scientific consensus. One, error. Gore asserts that a sea level rise of up to 20 feet would be caused by melting of ice sheets in the near future. Judge says this is distinctly alarmist and will only occur after and over millennia. Millennia, that's thousands of years. Two, error. Low-lying Pacific atolls have already been evacuated. Judge, there was no evidence of any evacuation having yet happened. You hear this? Three, error. The Gulf Stream that warms up the Atlantic would shut down. Judge, it was very unlikely it would shut down in the future, though it might slow down. Four, error. Graphs showing a rise in carbon dioxide and the rise in temperature over a period of 650,000 years showed an exact fit. Judge, there was a connection, but the two graphs do not establish what Mr. Gore asserts. Five, error. The disappearance of snow on Mount Kilimanjaro was due to global warming. Judge, it cannot be established that the recession of snows on Kilimanjaro is mainly attributable to human-induced climate change. Six, error. The drying up of Lake Chad is a prime example of a catastrophic result of global warming. Six, judge, insufficient to establish the exact cause. Seven, error, Hurricane Katrina blamed on global warming. Judge, there was insufficient evidence to prove that. Eight, error, now listen to this one. Polar bears were being found that had actually drowned, swimming long distances up to 60 miles to find the ice. Judge, only four polar bears have recently been found drowned because of a storm. Can you believe this? And finally, nine, error. Coral reefs were bleaching because of global warming and other factors. Judge, separating the impacts of stresses due to climate change from other stresses such as overfishing and pollution was difficult. Now, this is amazing. Don't you people want the truth? Don't you people want qualified individuals to give you information on such an important topic? If Al Gore and the other liars really want an end to carbon pollution, they should stop flying to Bali on private jets. This man is a gangster, but he is a dangerous gangster. Because whereas gangsters in the past provided services that people actually wanted but couldn't get, Al Gore commits the double crime of providing no services that anybody wants and robbing us at the same time. You can quote me on that. So there it is. There it is. If the oceans rise only 1 foot in the next 50 years, so what? Don't you understand? Don't you understand that this is all hype, that this is a great lie, and that the school children are being frightened on a daily basis into becoming little repeaters of lies? Do you want your children to be little brainwashed robots and rabbits? Or do you want your children to be able to think for themselves? And how can your children learn to think for themselves? By challenging the shibboleths of our time. What is a shibboleth? It's sad to say you probably don't even know what the word means. But Al Gore is presenting the greatest shibboleth of our time, which is that man-induced global warming will destroy the planet or is destroying the planet. Well, don't you think it's worth discussing a little bit more before handing over the world's economy to a group of perverts in Belgium? Why do I call them perverts? Because they are, and I can. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. The website, which is most important for those of you around giving time, is michaelsavage.com. And I want to thank you, by the way. The donations are flowing in like crazy. They really are. It doesn't mean that we don't need more, because we need the biggest war chest possible to defend free speech. And we are going to do it. The lawsuit was processed, I think, yesterday. I don't know if they received it yet. But you know what's going on. If you want to read the lawsuit for the first time, please see it on michaelsavage.com. And if you think that we have merit, join the Freedom of Speech campaign on the Savage Nation.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage.